So the first thing that I have to do now that I'm mukallafun, and mukallafun is exactly as you stated it from one perspective, that you have to, now you've reached the age of puberty. But the definition of mukallafun is in the poem. What's that? What's the definition of mukallafun? The poem says it. Accountable in every... Right. Mm-hmm. So mukallaf means you've reached the age physically where you are now mentally and physically able to respond correctly and on your own to everything that you face in the dunya, every issue that you would face in the dunya. Because you're now capable, you're now accountable, right? Because now that you are able to respond, now you're able to be held to account for everything that you do. Mm-hmm. So that's why mukallaf is accountable in every way. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't allow us the excuse to say, I was born a kafir, my parents were kufar, I was raised in a kafir country. I should have an excuse not to believe in Allah on the last day and to die in kufr. No. Even if you were born a kafir, even if you were raised by kafir parents in a kafir country, by the time you become mukallaf, you should have learned enough about the world and about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam to have accepted Islam. This is a very enabling mentality that Allah is saying the environment doesn't break you, does not take away your natural fitrah, your natural ability to understand what is right and wrong by the time you become the age of accountability. And this is, shows us this because when if a person dies after becoming a mukallaf, Allah says, then he is going to Jahannam. In general, no, oh, except if he was a kafir and had a kafir parents and grew up in a kafir country. No, even then. So alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, this shows that we have the ability to recognize right and wrong. Okay? So, let's go through it again. Start from the poem from the very beginning, please, quickly.
I give my word with heart and head.
No. With the adab, we have to start with the basmala. Always start with that. If I say start from the beginning, start with the beginning. The beginning is with Bismillah.
Okay, sure. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I give my word with heart and head to praise Allah till I drop dead. Sending blessings on the Prophet. Sending blessings on the Prophet and respect the scholars ijtihad. As a Muslim, I must study and pray to fight shaitan in every way. We'll make mistakes along the way. Repent to fight another day. The first thing that I have to do now that I'm mukallafun, accountable in every way, my actions call on me to blame, is look to see what faith demands. Have I complied with its commands? What do I think about Allah? Why is correct and what's a flaw?
Okay, so there's one line a little bit different. We say, expect mistakes along the way. Repent to fight another day. So that's expect mistakes along the way. Repent to fight another day. And this is because sometimes people are, because of movies and shaitan and his trying to trick man, tries to make man think that he's not going to make a mistake. And so then he's surprised when mistakes happen. No, we should expect mistakes along the way. And the way we get around that mistake is, and over that mistake, is to make istighfar. Wastaghfir rabbikum. Innahu kana ghaffara. And seek the forgiveness of your Lord. He is, was, and always will be ghaffara. The one forgiving and accepting the dua of the one who asks to be forgiven. Okay, to protect it from the results, aqibah, of his affairs, his mistake. So, this is our mentality. Now, the next thing we do is, as we said, the meaning of Shahada is the first thing we must know. There is no God for real, that is, except the one and only. The Khalqu, He created it, and for them He provides. He manages affairs of theirs from high above the sky. Too high, I say, sublime is He for partners or nadir. And this is what Shahada means. But let us make it clear. So let me go back again. So after we started off by saying, you know, the first thing that I have to do, we didn't answer that question, did we? We just said the first thing that I have to do now that I'm a mukallafun, you know, then we said is look to see what faith demands. Have I complied with this commands? What do I think about Allah? What is correct? What's the flaw? So actually we halfway answered it. We said in general, this is what we have to do. We have to look to see what faith demands. Well, the first thing that we have to see is the Shahada. Okay. A lot of people say, well, I know my Aqidah, but the Aqidah starts with the Shahada tag. The Shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Taking that first one, I bear witness, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that there is no God in reality except Allah. There's no object of worship worthy of being worshipped. People make up things except Allah. Okay, so let's take that. We say, so the meaning of Shahada is the first thing I must know, have knowledge of. What does it mean? There is no God for real, that is, except the one and only. That's the meaning of the Shahada. Then the question becomes, why? How come He's the only one worthy of worship? And the answer comes in the poem right next. The Khalqu, He created it, meaning the creation. He's the one that created everything. And for it, He provides. The emphasis has to be in the poem. He is the one that provides for it. He keeps it going. Al-Hayyul Qayyum. Right? He's the ever-living, the self-sustaining. He's providing us everything that we need. He's Al-Razzaq. Al-Khaliqu Razzaq Al-Mudabbiru. He manages affairs of theirs from high above the sky. And managing affairs is mudabbir. Yudabbiru al-amra min as-samai ila al-ard. The law says, He manages affairs of theirs from high above the sky, from the sky to the earth. So, this is what we have to understand. The first thing, what the meaning of Shahada is. Too high, I say, sublime is He. So this is saying in English, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? As we're saying too high, that's saying ta'ala. Sublime is He, meaning Subhanahu. For partners or nadir. Partners means a sharik. Right? He has no sharik, so we don't make shirk with him. No sharik, no shirk. Or nadir. Nadir here means competitors. He's not in competition with anyone. He has no equal. Because the kuffar, they put shaitan, Iblis, forward as though he's the equal to Allah. Right? And this is not true. He's been given permission from Allah to do the things that he has. He's been given respite from Allah to the last day. And that's after he asked for permission not to be punished. So, this is
Can anyone hear the Shaykh? I lost his audio.
Yeah, same. I can't hear the Shaykh as well.
Shay, we lost you.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear anything. Do you have any questions? Does anybody have any questions?
Sorry, Sheikh. Well, I think you cut off just the last.
I said, do you have any questions?
No.
Can everybody else hear me? Does anybody else have any question about what I said here?
None here, Shay. I heard you, but I don't have any questions.
Okay. All right, so let's move on to the next topic, inshallah ta'ala. By the next class, have this portion memorized as well, okay?
Okay, Sheikh.
Jazakallah khair. Go ahead, Tyler Boyd.
All right, we are in the poem outlining fiqh, and this is the second major part of fiqh, which is business transactions in the subtopic of al-buyur, or buying and selling. And the poem from outlining fiqh goes like this. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-bay means to buy and sell, while business transactions have rules as well. 10 specifics are defined, conditions we must bear in mind, options, interest, roots, and fruit, because bad transactions don't compute. Advance payments we pawn and make, collateral debt with loans we take, our words, our bonds we're bound to keep, a debt transfer when hands don't meet, patents, copy, or residual rights all help merchants sleep at night. And to explain this poem, we are going through A Summary of Islamic Jurisprudence, Volume 2, by Sheikh Saleh Fozan. And in the English translation, we are in the PDF. The page is page 56 of the PDF and 39 of the book. And this
okay,
is
okay, one second. Mr. Abdirrahman Ar-Rahim, you have to turn off your microphone, please. Okay, go ahead, continue, Tyler Boyd.
Yes, sir. And this is chapter 6. We are in the chapter of Riba. And we are continuing this chapter. And the next subheading to cover is Riba Nasi'a, or delay usury. The word Nasi'a in Arabic refers to delay. Riba Nasi'a involves two types. First, increasing the debt on the insolvent person by way of an interest rate. This is the origin of riba, which used to be done in the pre-Islamic period of ignorance, al-jahiliyyah. It means that a person owes another person a sum of money that is to be paid at a certain time. So, when it is time for paying back, the creditor gives the debtor the option either to pay the debt or allow him much more time in return for an interest on the borrowed sum. Therefore, if the debtor chooses not to settle his debt, the creditor prolongs the period of payment against an interest, which thereby results in the excessive increase of the debt. This is why Allah, exalted be He, prohibits this type of transactions, saying what may mean. And if someone is in hardship, then let there be postponement until a time of ease. Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 280. The verse
okay, so now,
yes.
I'm sorry. So, when you look at this, the first thing that comes to mind for a person who's grown up in the West and been accustomed to seeing this type of activity is, what's the benefit of me loaning you money if I can't make money from it? If there's no, you know, what am I going to get out of it? What would you say to that?
I would say the benefit of loaning money is a benefit to society and yourself.
Because how is it a benefit to society?
It's a benefit to society because the money which is sitting in your bank account not being used can now be used. And
okay, how does that benefit society?
Because in general, the more trade is going on and the more money is deployed, finances are deployed in people's needs and their goals, the more human civilization advances and the more everyone gets richer, because business is a type of activity which is, what's the word? It's cooperative. If you succeed in your goals, the person you're doing business with also succeeds in their goals. So both people are advancing if they're doing business.
So it could be said then, based on what you said, and it's true what you've said, that the more money that is, or let's say, we're going to call it the gold that is transferring back and forth between people's hands, the better quality of life in that society. Okay? If there's only one transaction a day in a store, then that's not as good as there being 15, 20, 30, you know, transactions happening in that store. The store owner is not the only one benefiting, but every purchaser is benefiting, and every home that that product is entering is benefiting. And everyone who makes that product for the store is benefiting. So there's communal gain by the passing around of the money. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, so that is true. This is the benefit to society. Okay? Everybody's hand is on the same dollars passing around, and as it passes, everybody's needs get met through that passing of wealth back and forth. Okay, so now, what's the benefit to me? What's my personal benefit?
The benefit to you is that it makes you free from blame as a wealthy person who has money, and everyone in the society knows you have money. It makes you free from blame that it's known that you are not someone who's stingy with your money. If someone comes to you in need, with a legitimate need for money, you will help that person at no cost to you. Because when you give a loan to someone, it doesn't cost you anything if you don't need the money. You might not be making anything from the money, but it doesn't cost you anything. So if you were to say no to that person, that would be a mark of shame for you. Also, there's a spiritual benefit.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
The spiritual benefit is that you're busy taking care of the needs of your brother or sister. And as long as you're doing that, as long as you are aiding and giving relief to your brother or sister, Allah will give you aid and relief on Yawm al-Qiyamah.
And in the dunya, Allah fi auni al-abdi ma dama al-abdu fi auni akhihi. Allah's messenger said that Allah is helping the slave. He didn't specify just for Yawm al-Qiyamah. As long as the slave is in the aid and helping his brother. So there's a natural law in play here. It's one that we don't necessarily openly articulate. Everyone in society should be helping the other humans in society. You know, this is a natural inclination. That's why we are horrified when someone does wrong to anyone else. No country in the world, no people in the world like oppression. No people like murder. No people like poverty. No people like to see other people starving. And this is why we supposedly set up agencies and donation places to provide aid, because we see it as our human obligation for other humans to reach out and to help each other to be on an equal footing and a operating society, even though there may be levels of wealth in that society. Everyone wants to be in a society where everyone is succeeding. And this is just the natural fitra of all humankind. It's part of your humanity. Anyone is void of that is seen as less humane, having less humanity. And so that's the application, the lending money, is part of the application of one's humanity. Now, of course, one should be circumspect. He should look and see who he is lending to. The person should be trustworthy, because he doesn't want to take a loss at the same time. Give someone and that person's not trustworthy, whether through dishonesty or foolishness, lack of discipline. But if the person meets the criteria of being trustworthy, then there's no real risk in loaning that person money. And the law rewards the person for helping his brother in society. Continue to read. This verse or this ayah signifies.
Now, can I make one more point, Shay?
Sure, go ahead.
there's also a belief, there's also a benefit in giving a loan more than giving the person sadaqah who's asking for a loan, because it preserves the honor of the person who's asking more to give them a loan.
This is true. Alhamdulillah, because he did not borrow. I mean, he did not beg, he borrowed. Okay, so he eventually gives that money back. Go ahead.
Now, the verse signifies, excuse me, the ayah signifies that if the time of payment is due and the debtor is unable to fulfill the debt, it is impermissible for the creditor to increase the debt. Rather, the creditor should give the debtor a grace period. On the other hand, if the debtor is wealthy, he is to pay his due debt. Hence, no increase on the debt by way of an interest should be made, whether the debtor is insolvent or not.
Second.
Go ahead, Sheikh.
Continue. No, no, no.
Second, it refers to the riba taken through selling goods of the same type but in excess, which is the property in the case of riba al-fadl, with delaying the date of delivery, whether for both or just one of the items. There are many examples of this type, such as selling gold for gold, silver for silver, wheat for wheat, barley for barley, dates for dates, salt for salt, and the like. Besides, this type includes selling any type of these items for the same on credit. The same applies to whatever shares these items in the property of Ribel Fadl, as will be pointed out below.
Continue.
Ribel Fadl, excess usury. This type of riba refers to the selling of an item for another of the same type but in excess. With regard to this issue, the Prophet ﷺ dictates that this kind of transaction is prohibited in six items, namely gold, silver, wheat, barley, dates, and salt. Thus, if any of these items is sold in exchange for another of the same type, then it is prohibited to take more than the other in weight or measure. This is due to the hadith narrated by Ubadah ibn Samit, may Allah be pleased with him, as a marfu', traceable hadith, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what may mean. Gold is to be paid for gold, silver for silver, wheat for wheat, barley for barley, dates for dates, and salt for salt, like for like, and equal for equal, and payment is to be made hand to hand.
Do you understand what that hand to hand means? It means on the spot. There's not to be, okay, I'll give it to you tomorrow. No. I give it to you in one hand, you give it to me with your hand. Okay, we make the exchange right then and there. What has happened nowadays, we've lost the trueness of business, whereas business is, like he mentions, in these six things are to be handed over at the time of the sale. This makes our business transactions live. Okay, they become actual events. What we have set up now is surreal events, making business, and there's no product. It's just talking about it. This empowers the one with no real money. So this empowers the one who can advertise without really having anything, propagandize or something like that. And this is why we are passing over, you know, dollar bills, let's say, for example, but not product. This trade is uslan, originally trading the products. Okay. And so the more we do these types of things, we're getting away from the natural events. And the natural events mean that it's more, how can I say, I want to say natural, but it makes it that you have to be involved on a daily basis. Okay? It makes it so that you cannot preserve. When we start adding preservatives, things stop being tasting good because they put so many things in there to preserve it. And so when it's a day-to-day, it's a hand-to-hand, you have to, your life is more active. It makes you more reliant on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the reality of being reliant of Allah, because you can see it more clearly. So this is what's keeping us in a state of active consciousness, making it hand-to-hand. This narration was compiled by Imam Ahmed and Imam Muslim, so it shows that even though it's marfu', it's raised up, so there's a missing link there, but it's reached the degree where Imam Ahmed and Imam Muslim both narrate it, hold it. Okay, the above hadith, go ahead please.
Sheikh, one thing I don't understand about this hadith and this concept, why would someone buy an amount of gold or silver or wheat for this and pay as a payment the same amount of gold, silver, or wheat at the same time? What is the point of this transaction?
I can't answer why they would transfer, like do the transfer for the same amount. But the point is that the transfer has to be equal. Whatever the affair is about, it has to be equal. You cannot demand that yours is more expensive when it's the same thing. That's the point.
Okay. So this is not talking about the transfer of silver to gold or gold to wheat. It's talking about silver to silver, gold to gold, and wheat to wheat.
Okay, so let's read the explanation further. The above hadith states the prohibition of paying gold for gold, all its types, coined or not, silver for silver, wheat for wheat, barley for barley, or dates for dates, unless like for like, equal for equal, and payment is made on the spot. So, furthermore, the majority of scholars uniformly, meaning unanimously, agree on the prohibition of selling an item as a payment for another unless both are equal. The same ruling applies to other things that share the same cause of judgment. Yet scholars differ as regards to setting such cause of judgment, meaning what is the scale that's used. In this respect, the soundest view is that the common property in money, coins, or banknotes is its value. That is, other similar items are to be valued according to the value of the money, the system of transfer, such as those banknotes used today. Hence, it is maintained prohibited to sell any of such items in excess for another of the same type, namely being issued in the same country. So what is saying, let me finish again. As for the cause of judgment of the rest of the six items mentioned in the previous hadith, namely wheat, barley, dates, and salt, it is the measure or weight. Besides, such items are edibles. Thus, the same ruling applies to whatever shares any of their property as regards weight or measure and edibility. That is, such a type of transactions, meaning in riba or fadl, are viewed as prohibited unless there is equality in measure or weight. In this connection, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy upon him, says what could mean. The criteria, or the distinguishing factor, the way to weigh, in prohibiting the transactions of riba al-fadl is measure or weight. How, you know, it's equality, how you determine it. The measure or weight of the items being paid for other items. In addition to edibility, this is one of the two views maintained by Imam Ahmed. Accordingly, whatever item shares these six items mentioned in the hadith in that cause of judgment, namely being edible and measurable, or being edible and can be weighed, is paid for as a price. It is to be included in transactions condemned as riba. Similarly, if such items share that cause of judgment as well as being of the same type, then it is prohibited to sell wheat for wheat, for example, in excess or with delaying the payment. This is based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he says, what could mean? Gold is to be paid for gold, silver for silver, wheat for wheat, barley for barley, dates for dates, and salt for salt. Like for like and equal for equal, and payment is to be made hand to hand. Furthermore, if the items share the same cause of judgment but differ in type, such as in cases of selling wheat for barley, it is prohibited to delay the payment. It must be made on the spot. While in this case, it is permissible to sell one type for more of the other. This is due to the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, if these classes differ, then sell as you wish if payment is made hand to hand. This is compiled by Muslim and Abi Dawood. The phrase hand to hand, here, it means that the payment must take place on the spot before the two parties separate. On the other hand, if the items are different in both the cause of judgment and the type, it is maintained permissible to pay one type for more of another. So is the case of delaying payment allowed, such as selling gold for wheat or silver for barley. Let it be known, O dear Muslim reader, that it is viewed impermissible to sell an item which could be weighed for another of the same type except with equal weight. And he keeps bringing this point back that you cannot take, more money for one item over another when they are the exact same. Now, if the quality differs, you can take a different price. But if they are of the same quality, they have to have the same price. Besides, it is impermissible to sell a measurable item for another of the same type except with equal measure. So we measure things differently. Some things are done by bushels. Some things are done by kilos. Okay? So if it's a bushel of apples, it's different than the kilos. So you cannot compare the two together in the same way because they're different measurabilities, different criteria of measure. So it says here, it is impermissible to sell a measurable item for another of the same type except with equal measure. So we're going to change by kilos. We're going to change by kilo. This is due to the hadith where he mentions again the same hadith. A different hadith. Gold is to be paid for. What can mean? Gold can be paid for gold with equal weight. And silver is to be paid for silver with equal weight. And wheat is to be paid for wheat with equal weight. Measure. And barley is to be paid for barley with equal measure. Besides, since items will not be equal when their legal criterion or legal measure or weight is different, it is impermissible to sell an item that can be weighed or measured with a random weight or measure for another of the same type. The key word here is of the same type. This is because one does not guarantee that both items are equal. Hence, ignorance of equality is like knowing about excess in one item over the other. So this is going back to saying if a thing can be weighed in kilos, let's say it's apples, then I say, okay, we're going to give you five, I'm going to trade you 5 kilos of apples for 5 kilos, not 5 kilos, but for 5 bushels. Well, these are two different measurabilities. So this is acknowledging that there's a difference here and that's going to be considered riba, especially if they're the same type. Now, this is only when we're talking about things that are of the same type, meaning same quality, right? But most of the times when we do our trading, we're not trading things of the same quality, even if it's the same type. So this is the thing that we have to pay attention to as well. This rule of equality is only when those things are equal, okay? As for the issue of money exchange, whether of the same type or not, and whether money is of gold, silver, or is of gold, silver, or banknotes, which are common these days, the same ruling applied to the selling of gold and silver is to be applied to it. This is based on the fact that they share the same property, being of value that can be measured. Thereupon, if an amount of money is exchanged for another of the same type, such as gold coins for gold coins, silver coins for silver coins, or any category of paper money, or another of the same type, a dollar for a dollar, or Saudi paper dirhams for Saudi paper dirhams, both exchanged items must be equal in value. Now here goes the issue. Are they equal in value? All right, let's say, for example, is a dollar equal to a Saudi dirham, paper dirham? No, they're not. So then, since they're not equal in value, they don't have to be traded in equal in value. Both exchanged items must be equal in value. Besides, payment must take place on the spot. However, if an amount of money of one type is exchanged for a different amount of a different type, such as exchanging Saudi paper riyals for US dollars or exchanging gold coins for silver coins, both parties, the buyer and seller, must be present at the time of the exchange and payment must take place on the spot. In such a case, it is permissible to exchange one type for more of the other type, both according to their value. Similarly, if a piece of gold jewelry is sold for a silver dirham or for paper money, both the buyer and the seller must be present at the time of the transaction, and the payment must take place on the spot. The same applies to selling of silver jewelry for gold coins. Now, again, here is a different item being sold or traded for a different type of item. So it does not have to be equal in weight, and the value is not going to be the same. So you can put more one over the other based on its legal value. When I say legal value here, meaning ma'ruf value, what it has been accepted as its value at that moment. For example, he gave here selling silver jewelry for gold coins. Or let's do it the opposite way. Gold jewelry for silver coins. So the weight is going to be different because silver has less legal value, ma'ruf value, public value than gold. So whatever the silver is normally valued at, that's going to determine what the price, how much of it's going to be paid for the gold. Okay? So it doesn't have to be equal. The same thing can be said about paper monies. When we do an exchange rate, what is the rate of exchange? On the other hand, if a piece of gold or silver jewelry is sold for jewelry or money of the same type, such as the case of selling a piece of gold for gold or a piece of silver for silver, there are two matters that should be fulfilled. First, both pieces must be equal in weight. Second, both buyer and the seller must be present at the time of concluding the transaction, and the payment must take place on the spot. I say he's missing one point in this point here, and they must be of equal value, because we know that different gold is of different value than some pieces of gold. You can have 24 carat, or let's say 99.9, pure gold, or you can have less than that, 20, 22. And so that's not equal value. They're not the same thing. So they're not going to be traded equal. The rule of equality is only when they are actually equal in weight and quality. Does this make any sense to you guys now? Somewhat of what riba is dealing with? At least riba is
called them. Yes and no. So, so with Okay, so there's something called Forex trading. Foreign exchange trading. And basically what people do is they look at which currency is doing better. And they take the currency that they have and they trade it out for the other currency that's doing better, and then they make the difference.
Yes, this is legal. This is mentioned here. I just mentioned that. It says
then that makes that legal.
Yes, because what we're talking about. However, if an amount of money of one type is exchanged for another of a different type, such as exchanging Saudi paper reals for U.S. dollars or exchanging gold coins for silver coins, both parties must be present at the time of the exchange and payment must take place on the spot. In such a case, it is permissible to exchange one type for more of the other type, both according to their value. Does that make sense?
Yes, but this is done on the internet. Does that mean both parties are present?
Yes, because at that time, you have to have an account in that regard. When you open up your account, that's why the trading is done at a particular time. There are four, I think, markets. The Japanese market, the Australian market, the British market, and the New York market. They all open up at different times. You can't trade outside of those times. You go to the market right when it opens, and that's when the trading starts. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And your account. You have to have, like I said, you have to have opened up an account. Why? So they can pay you. You can pay and they can pay you right then and there. Okay? So when you conclude your, and there's also, when you end your sale, that money is automatically deducted or added to your account. For your daily trading. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
The thing that you can't do is buy American dollars for American dollars and pay more for them. This is what makes it riba al-fadl. Okay? So let's continue. Go ahead and continue to read, please, Mr. Tyler Boyd.
Yes, sir. With regard to this, dealing in riba implies a great danger that one cannot avoid unless one is well acquainted with its rulings. Therefore, whoever is not able to know about its rulings by himself can ask the people of knowledge. This is because it is not permissible for someone to undertake any transaction except when being certain that it does not involve riba, so that his religion can be saved and he can rescue himself from Allah's punishment, with which he has threatened the usurers. It is also impermissible to imitate others in any kind of transaction without considering it carefully, especially nowadays when people do not consider the ways through which they can get their wealth and gains, be they lawful or not. In this respect, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what may mean. There will come a time when people will eat, i.e. take riba. Even the one who will not eat it may not spare its dust, i.e. he will be affected by it in one way or another.
Okay, let me stop you here. We are in that time frame where people are affected by its dust, whether we want to or not. Anyone who has bills, all these bills have late fees. By signing the contract, you've agreed to pay the late fees. This is a contract of riba. But if you don't sign those contracts, you're not going to be able to get your electricity, your water, or other services that are necessary for your survival. So you're forced into these particular things. So we should seek forgiveness of Allah for being in a weak position and not being in a position to organize ourselves and make a system where that doesn't exist. because we can change it. We just don't organize enough to do it. It's not that important to us. We don't find the energy to do so, even though we know that it is detestable and even kuffar don't like it. We still just get it and go. So this is one of the ways that we get affected. Also because the businesses, the companies that make food and these things and the countries that are trading, they are doing the riba fadl. They are trading in ways that just benefit themselves and have no regard to whether it's riba or not. And we are buying from those companies, those cursed transactions. Okay, and we're not even paying attention to how it's done. So we're affected by the surround sound of riba. Continue.